Imagine yourself in Israel 2,000 years ago. The Romans are in charge. But they seem willing to let Israel kind of develop with a degree of independence as one of their client states, so long as the taxes are paid and the peace is kept. That's the way it was. With the rebuilding of the temple and the reestablishment of the schedule of sacrifices, there's been a growing expectation that God will surely do something to save the people. This is what's going on underneath it all. But for hundreds of years, heaven has been silent. There are no more prophets. It seems that God has stopped speaking. The years come and go, and the people of Israel hope, and they pray. They've left nothing but promises and the covenant. And they wonder, has God abandoned them? Will the promised Messiah ever come? Some people do have this ongoing hope. Some people believe. Yet so many are filled with doubts. Does God seem far away today? Do you feel that your prayers echo off the walls and disappear into an empty sky? Do you ever dare believe that God could come to you? Wait. Listen. And see how close God has come. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. Mary, a pregnant, unwed teenager, got out of Dodge. She fled far away from where people would know her, so that the scandal behind her could simmer down. You don't think there'd been a scandal? Joseph was going to leave her before he heard from an angel. You don't think there was talk? Mary? Oh, I've seen her sneaking around with Pantera, the Roman soldier. Oh, they think nobody sees them, but I've seen them. I know what they've been doing. It's no wonder she went to visit her cousin. The story of Mary and Pantera, I didn't even just make that up. It has been going around for a long time, since at least the second century. It was written down by one called Celsus, and Celsus was not a fan of Christianity. But the next time you feel like gossiping or somehow communicating your displeasure with someone who may have or may not have, but you think they have, violated your code of what is morally acceptable, just stop. Belittling someone in a, I know what she did, or he should know better kind of way is unkind, not helpful, and sinful. Just refuse to participate in dismissing anyone as unimportant. Character obliteration is wrong. It's been going on forever. It ruins people's lives, and it needs to stop. God does not play that game. God chooses the unlikely. Yes. The unlikely. A scandalous story surrounding Jesus' birth fits right in with his genealogy, with God choosing the unlikely. In it, we find Tamar, who tricked her father-in-law into sleeping with her so that she could have children. Judah, the father-in-law who called for Tamar to be stoned because he was confronted with the reality that he was the father of her unborn children. Real upstanding and not at all hypocritical guy, much like so many politicians of our day, perhaps. Rahab, the prostitute who helped the Israelite spies in Jericho before the walls came tumbling down. Ruth, who loved her mother-in-law so much that she seduced an older man, married him, and had children with him. Bathsheba, who knew King David, while she was married to Uriah. And David, who slept with Bathsheba and conspired to have Uriah killed. This is Jesus' genealogy. God chooses the unlikely. We're the ones who hype up the scandal throughout the story leading up to Jesus' birth. Jesus just chose, or God just chose the unlikely for this lineage. But as things have it, as Mary traveled, who could blame her for being a little bit nervous, a little bit jumpy about the whole situation? And she arrived at her cousin's home. Elizabeth knew that something wonderful was going on. Now, Mary was there to help because Elizabeth was a little further along in her pregnancy than Mary. But don't kid yourself, Mary was getting out of town. But Elizabeth knew something good from this unlikely person was going on. And how did she know it? Today's Bible reading says that it's what she felt, a jumpy baby in her womb. Not the nervous kind of jumpy like Mary was, but instead the baby kicking because it's happy. Ever seen a baby kicking because it's happy? Legs are going like that. Happy and safe kind of jumpy. And Elizabeth wanted to leap for joy too. She said something that would inspire a prayer that is said countless times every day. Any Roman Catholic background folks here? People still practicing or whatever it is, you'll know this prayer, and many people have heard it so many times. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Jump for joy. You are special. And Mary did. In the second part of the reading, we didn't do the second part of the reading, but in the later part of the reading, if you had your Bibles open, Mary sang a song. The Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. It's a famous song. And it's a church song. And no, I'm not going to sing it. But we are almost through Advent. Christmas is coming so very, very soon. In the time leading up to Jesus' birth, Mary went through this range of emotions. She was terrified. She was overjoyed. She was probably angry. She was grateful. She was overwrought. She experienced hope and hopelessness. She was jumpy. Same kind of emotions that we have here today. Same kind of emotions that are felt in our community, in our state, our nation, all around the world in this season of Advent. So blessings to you this Sunday before Christmas, my brothers and sisters. May your soul magnify the Lord, and may your spirit rejoice in God our Savior. May you experience hope, peace, joy, and love. And may that hope, peace, joy, and love fill your spirit. And may you encounter Christ's divine presence in your life, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. Christmas blessings. Amen.